Thank you, Chairperson. Members of the Portfolio Committee, it's always a pleasure to come and address this forum. We know that the last time we spoke to you was around March, and you also visited our offices around October. And I must say, on behalf of the board, we always find this conversation quite useful and the guidance that actually comes out of it. With me, indeed, I have the Deputy Chairperson of the Board, Ndumi Gwai, and the CEO, the veteran, I'm told now, Mr. Munare, and we have also Ms. Patience Liburo, who is the acting Chief Financial Officer of the Board. So, that's how it's pronounced, but it's not have the same meaning as you might have. But okay. So that is a delegation from the board. Chairperson and honourable members. The last time we actually spoke to you, we had mentioned a number of things that the board was planning to do by way of enhancing its effectiveness. You would see that in our presentation we are beginning to give effect to this, and a part of that is really around trying to enhance the demarcation board institutionally and really organize it quite properly quite properly to be able to carry out its mandate much more effectively. The other thing that you would see in our presentation really is that you will all know that we're coming from what was quite clearly a very challenging process of the water limitation that was counted in the local government elections. The results have been announced. I think most of you may not be aware is that while the IEC takes all the glory, but 80% of that work is being done by the board. It's not being envious, but I think it's really stating the fact. It is one of those things that we should mention, because if we don't, they go unnoticed. So, we are now taking a deep breath, and believe it or not, Chairperson and the members, we have to now begin the process of now outer boundary delimitations. The work of the board is characterized by the cycles that slightly overlap at the end, but have to take place. The CEO would also just highlight to you that as I'm sitting here, we need to start now, possibly in June, with the outer boundary redetermination of the municipalities. We have about 65 cases that we need to look at, which are requests that has really come to the board. We also have got over 500 cases, which are much more alignment and technical adjustments. I'm mentioning that here because we need to start with this quite pretty early, because you would see that inherent in our strategy, we want to change the approach completely from what has used to happen in the past. We have learned a lot in terms of the last round of the water delimitation, and a part of the lessons that we have is really around the issue of consultation. We are going to ensure that in as far as possible we really make this process once again to be as consultative as possible. We need to demystify the whole issue around delimitation, about how boundaries are redetermined and why we change municipal boundaries. So the process is going to be quite fairly involved, and the details of which would also be spelled out. And you'd see that part of our work really would be focusing on that program. And we've also, for the benefit of this committee, just put in some kind of an indicative program, which essentially would see the process maybe starting somewhere around June or July. Obviously, we wish that to settle a bit. We don't want to. We know that the new councillors have got all other things, so we don't want our message to be drowned in all kinds of things that the new councillors would be concentrating on. But we need to start quite in time, because essentially what it means is that sometimes in May, between May and probably August next year, 2013, we need to stop, basically, in terms of the changing of the outer boundaries. It might sound, it might look far, it's not very far. It basically gives us just over 24 months, you know, to do that process, because this is the time where now IEC takes all those boundaries and now start their own processes in terms of actually segmenting the voters' role into the municipality. So we need to stop at that stage. As soon as they do that, all other processes, you know, really start. I mean, they will be preparing for the next, the national and provincial government. So really our demarcation, work and cycle are quite fairly short, and they're largely dictated by the time frames of the IEC. Hence, I think, you know, the need for us to start quite pretty early. We would also, we're pleased to announce that here we would be resuming what was really clearly quite our, if you like, close second of our functions, namely the capacity assessment of the municipalities. We when we spoke last time, we said we decided to as it were, halt the capacity assessment exercise purely because to give time to the ward boundaries for those of this 2011 election that has passed, and it turned out to be a very good thing, on our part, purely in terms of resources. And now we have reviewed the whole model, and we will now be commencing with that exercise again, and with a much more improved approach. One of the things that may not be quite as apparent as it should be in our presentation is really the conversation that we must have with COAPTA in around some of the legislative changes that need to take place purely at an operational level. You see, the Demarcation Board has been there for about now 11 years. Part of the legislative framework of the board needed to be looked purely from the point of view of making the process much more easier. And if I may just make an example, for instance, is the role and the time frame that should each other actor adhere to in terms of the process of what delimitation. To be more specific, for instance, we started the process quite pretty late in the ward delimitation in the previous round, because the ministry really took 4 months to actually give us the formula. Now elections are time bound. Everybody is actually subject to time limitation. You cannot have one of the activities which is so critical to the process where it doesn't have got time limitation. We say we need to relook at that legislation to ensure, for instance, that COAPTA and the ministry do, for instance, produce a formula at a particular time. But I mean, we'll have that conversation, with actual COAPTA. Other things really is also around possibly. The current legislation and the manner that it has established the board. We're starting to say, after 11 years or so, people no longer take for granted what you give them as what they question. You must. It's no longer enough to say I've got a legislation and therefore, that's it. I mean, people say, but we need to understand why you did that. And we are saying is that is really. The full-time component of the board sufficient. One thing that I have learned in my really 2 years here in the board is that the issue of boundaries is a very emotive issue, and it is something that just simply does not go away. So we need to find a way in terms of how we could enhance the capacity of the board to have much more conversation around that. Chairperson, that is basically my opening remarks. The CEO of the board, Mr. Munara, will take you through some of the issues that I've now raised, and by way of actually ensuring how they are given effect to our strategy. Thanks very much,
Mr. Munara. When you do that, do focus on those issues that you would like the committee to engage with. If you suspect this is likely to be uncontroversial, okay, if you suspect, just skip it. Okay. So I'm just pleading with you because I think so that we can engage with you. It is unfortunate that the last presenter always have to suffer those consequences. and we wouldn't like to get out of this meeting without having addressed as many issues with you as we possibly can in the short time that we have. So manage your content and time to your advantage.
Thank you, Chair. Fortunately, the chairperson of the board has already covered a lot of things I would have said. I will therefore be very quick, despite the fact that we have prepared some 45 slides, but that will be very, very quick from my part. I had intended to talk about the last visit that the portfolio committee made to the board, just to remind the committee as the issues that were raised there. I will not spend much time on it in the interest of time. I will then look very, very briefly at the performance in 2010-11, because we have in front of you the draft annual report for that financial year. I will spend a little more time on the strat plan as we move forward and the MTF in that regard. So that is why I'm saying I'll be quite quick. Some of the areas I will not cover. Suffice to say with this that the last briefing was in October 2010 when the portfolio committee honored us with a visit to the offices of the MDB. What I will say with respect to that slide is that really the third MDB under the leadership of Mr. Mahlangu is actually firmly of the view that things at the board must begin to happen in a different manner. And he has already elucidated some of those in that regard. We now have 8 metros, as you very well know, since the May the 18th, some 44 districts now from 46 that we had before, and some 226 local municipalities, and also some 4,240 wards. They keep growing as a result. We have delivered on the wards. The chair has already spoken about the fact that a lot of what the IT was able to deliver was based on what we had handed over to them. Some of the issues that came up that happened during that period, the board had to look at the issue of Msunduzi not becoming a metro any longer. But other than that, we didn't really do any outer boundary issues. We will resume the capacity assessment process, as the chair has already said. We had suspended it for a while. He has already spoken about the fact that we need to relook at the structure of the MDB as a means of improving its effectiveness as an institution, and even to the extent of expanding the institution to enable it to carry its mandate more effectively. Governance issues remain under control, Chair. We have a very effective internal audit process, and the service providers as a result, and the audit and risk committee of the board remains quite active. We reported that as a result, some financial indicators which the board is quite happy with, and which I suspect the committee would be satisfied with. The ward issue we've already covered. Just to look very quickly at the performance that we have, we will be resuming with capacity assessment, as the chair already indicated. It is a new model completely, which will be a lot more comprehensive, and for the first time, we will be dealing with the assessment of metropolitan municipalities, because to date they have not been looked at. But it will be a lot more useful and a lot more user friendly and a lot more dynamic process. That we will follow when the process of securing or procuring a service provider, and the process is at an advanced stage. As I say, we remain on course, Chair, to receive yet another unqualified audit opinion by the AG.
We have developed a number of good frameworks, including an IT governance framework, as part of improving that efficiency and effectiveness at the NDB. So in really dealing with issues internally of making the institution work properly, we are doing very, very well. Quite clearly, the board is taking a lot of interest in ensuring that issues of employee relations, issues of nurturing capability, and also the issues of a proper knowledge management system come on course. The board is quite focused in driving management and in encouraging management to make sure that that happens. And we have been on course in doing that. I've already spoken a lot about financial management. I will go straight to stakeholder relations issues. We had, by the end of the financial year, procured the services of a media relations advisor, and that service has come in very, very handy. You may have realized that we have been able to much more promptly engage stakeholders and also come out in the media to talk about issues that are pertinent to what we do as such. We are at an advanced stage of developing a stakeholder relations and communication strategy. It's very, very important to us. This current board is insistent that we start communicating properly with stakeholders. Your work becomes almost meaningless in that regard. And it is a function that is very, very seriously taken at the MDB. Let's look then at the strat plan. The board has approved the strat plan. The emphasis, as I said earlier, remains on making the board meetings work more visible, more understandable to stakeholders, and including the general public as such. I've already indicated that the idea of cultivating progressive and vibrant relations with stakeholders remains very, very important as such, and we need to start doing things differently. We've already started, actually, in that process. Of doing that. We have done some research on very key subjects. The review that the chair spoke about of the capacity assessment model, we have questioned the issue of the size of municipality, given the nature of the size that we find in South Africa of our local government units structures, and also the issue of criteria, just to be able to apply them in a manner that will be beyond reproach, and that can stand the test, any test or any criticism whatsoever. Mission, vision, and values, we try to keep them vibrant. That's where they stand. I'm not going to spend time on them. We're still running with those six themes, Chair, for our step plan going forward. And the main one, really, being the determination of municipal boundaries. As the chair already indicated, we are now ready to start going with that and everything else that goes with it, capacity assessments. As you can see, it includes metropolitan municipalities, and then, of course, stakeholder relations and the other issues of governance, financial management, and so on. Let me not go there. I've already spoken about the fact that we have commissioned work to unpack the issue of criteria, to understand the issue of size as we move into the new era of that. This is the program, Chair, that the chairperson of the board spoke about earlier. It indicates us starting with the process by around June in 2011. I'm on slide 18 now. We have timed it very carefully to allow us, with the assumption that the next elections will be in 2016. Quite clearly, if it's not in 2016, then adjustments will have to be made, which means that we have to have finalized municipal boundaries at the beginning of 2013 to be able to do what in 2014-15, the whole cycle, the way it goes. And that this program is premised on that kind of cycle. And this is the time, the program, the draft program, Chair, starting in June, going through with all the details that you see, I'm not going to spend time going through that. What is important to note in the program is that there will be public meetings and investigations for every single case that the board considers. So it will not be our visits, public meetings will not be sparsely distributed and far in between. They will become a norm, and which means that we are trying to be much more closer and to bring the stakeholders much more closer to the process to make sure that we have spoken to the right people, to the stakeholders concerned in that regard. We then are looking at finalizing that process by May 2013 of outer boundaries, so that we can then move into a limitation process as a result of that with the formula, and then of course the new board coming into office in 2014, continue with the ward limitation process. That's really the draft program check that we have, presuming that the next local government elections will be in 2016. We just give an indication of the budget allocation that we have set aside for this area of work, totaling 6.5 million for the current financial year, then the next two financial years. The details are there, Chair. The capacity assessment, issues coming out of that review of the model are very, very important to note. Of course, that's what has really defined the new direction that we take. Some of it may very well be controversial, but I think it was useful to raise it, the fact that the two-tier system has got its own problems, and it has come with issues such as the MECs being required to adjust, facing with the decision of having to adjust functions between districts and local municipalities, and that has not really helped in many instances. We have also said that, we're also saying that the framework for adjustments, the definition of capacity that we have used to date has been too narrow, and the need to understand it in a wider context has become necessary. And this is going to come out in the new model that we will then be applying in that regard. So the new model, as I say, will seek to address those limitations that we spoke about and begin to position the capacity as a strategic resource with a new model that we are looking at. That is the allocation that we have done for the current financial year and the next two financial year. May I just add at this stage that the idea is that with this project, it will increasingly become carried out internally by internal staff. So as we begin with driving, so that deliberately it begins to be done by the staff of the board full time and no longer having large chunks of it being outsourced. We will continue to build this processes, systems, and practices. We've already spoken at length about the OD the process. It's a very important process. The board is very keen in implementing its outcomes with the idea of improving the way that things are done at the board and the effectiveness of the board in carrying out its mandate. Some indications of budget allocations as it stands now with the current resources. Issues of good governance. We still have a very good internal audit and the process. The AG is currently with us now. We have to continue to maintain those good governance arrangements and continue to maintain constant watch, examination, and review of those processes going forward. we are doing that very, very well. The board for some time was very worried about the IT process. It still is. So it's something that is of great concern to us also to ensure that our IT does not lag behind in all these developments. Use of management information check has become quite important for us. The issue of knowledge management system has become important. What is important to note about the administrative processes is that we really would like to have an effective board secretariat at the MDB. At the moment, we really don't have that, and would like to make improvements on that. One hopes that it will come with the improvement that that the chair spoke about. Risk management remains a very important matter, and of course stakeholder management, some budget allocations, and then of course sound financial management. Our drive is to always maintain and to receive an unqualified audit opinion with the AG, and to maintain that sound financial management based on the five principles that really say to manage our resources to accomplish strategic goals, effective financial planning, contractual obligations that adherence to those laws, efficient use of resources, financial reporting that is accurate and relevant. Very, very important resources that we pursue. And the AG, we believe, must be able to give us very unqualified opinions from year to year. And those are really the audit expenses and our expense that we have for that cluster in pursuing that issue, that theme. And the final one, then, is on stakeholder relations. I've already said that we are at an advantage of preparing that strategy and a framework for engaging stakeholders, managing them, and communication strategy, and to set up a stakeholder management unit. We have to have that unit if we are going to engage our stakeholders effectively. There are some issues that the chair has already spoken about. I've just flagged one here on the water limitation process, which I say is time-consuming, it's very costly. One of the things we'd like to propose, and the chair has already done it actually, is that the timelines within which the minister needs to publish the formula for the number of councillors needs to be set, so that it's not an open process. It has to be to say that the minister needs to, within a certain period, publish the formula to determine the number of councillors. I won't go further than that. Financial results. These are the receipts for the year for the year that ended in 2011, 37,933 million, including the other income. Total income for the period outlined there with an expenditure of 36 million. We had a surplus at the end of the financial year of 1.9 million, and I'm glad to say that it was committed funds. We have applied to National Treasury, and my acting CFO tells me that Treasury has approved that we retain those funds, given that they were committed. And we can then safely say that we have spent within budget. An indication of expenditure versus budget and the variance, just really to indicate that surplus that I spoke about. That I spoke about earlier. Breakdown of expenditure for the year, showing an expenditure of some 95%, with 5% that we are retaining anyway because of the commitments. Operating expenses, they are 14%, employee benefits stand at 30%. And some general expenses there, and in terms of breakdown, publications you will see take quite a chunk of the budget at 5.9 million. That's for the year that's just passed. It's 5.99 million. It is a necessary expense for the MDB. other operating expenses at 5.4 million. Let's look now at the MTEF going forward. For the current financial year, Chair, we stand at 38.4 million that Treasury has given. It represents an increase by 1.3 million from the last financial year. We then moved to 2012, 13, 13, 14, an increase of some 5% year to year, 40.3 and 42.57 million. And that's just an indication of our budget going forward. We have budgeted, we don't budget on surpluses. Quite clearly, we have factored in the capacity assessment, which you would have seen when I gave an indication of the budget allocations for the state plan area. This is now just a breakdown of the other expenses. You will remember the last time you went to visit us, Chair, there was a question as to what that other expenses entails. We took the effort of having a slide that outlines specifically what that other expenses item entails. Let me stop there, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Munaki. We appreciate that. Honorable James?
Question?
Yeah.
First of all, my congratulations on your budgetary surplus. It's unusual. Members may like to compare the amount of money spent on telephones that this entity does with our previous presentation from the CRL Commission. It makes quite interesting reading. Mr. McClungu, you admitted that your consultation had been lacking in the past, and there's an undertaking to consult more in future. Now, as I understand it, you're legislatively bound to consult. Are you saying that you did not meet the requirements of the legislation in the past? That's the first part of my question. Secondly, if you are going to consult more in future, how is that going to happen? Thirdly, if you do, during the case of your new consultations, find that there is strong opposition to decisions you've taken in the past, would you be prepared to reverse those decisions, and what would make you reverse those decisions? And when it comes to your assessment of capabilities, I'm quite interested in knowing the starting point that you work from. Do you, as a matter of course, try and match or make up for a weak municipal structure by amalgamating it with a stronger one? And if you do that, does it work? Is there not a danger that the stronger structure will be dragged down by being amalgamated with a weaker one?
Chairperson, I'd be interested to know the criteria used, and I know this could be a very broad one, for ward delimitation. Whether it be, I know there are set criteria that is used, but for instance, say you're changing a boundary to increase the number, what would determine, what would the determining factors be to take it to the west of the ward or to the east of the ward?
Or the boundary. What is the criteria? I don't think it's very clear to you this morning.
It's clear, but my preference would be to state the problem so that we know what you see as the problem, so that he then responds to it. I don't know whether a question, as you asked it, does it. Illustrate.
A municipality in the Northwest Province, Southern District, Dr. KK District, Matlosana. what would be the criteria to include, for instance, in a ward, Merrings Park, rather than Jobberton? How would you decide? What would be the deciding factors as to whether you move that boundary towards Merrings Park or whether you move it towards Jobberton?
Chairperson. Let me start by saying is that.
No, before you do that, let me raise this question now. Your report is pretty excellent. What is the state of health of the board?
Perhaps maybe let me address that later. I was going to address the issue of consultations. Our consultations lacking doesn't mean that they were not compliant. Perhaps maybe the word they should have been that they have been adequate, and then they were consistent, you know, with the late legislation. So there is no way that the board can take a decision without having had consultation as required by the legislation. What we are saying here is that much as we know that we have complied with all the requirements, we want to do more. Let me make an example. You know, in most cases, for instance, you only make their views known to the board through written inputs. And our view is that while that is, you know, we could, you know, stay with that, but we have found that there should be a way in which we could possibly expand it. That is why we're saying for now, although, I mean, the lesson is permissive. It says you could, for instance, see, you know, hear the views and then make a decision or have a public hearing. We have said now, you know, we need to make public hearings to be a norm, specifically because some communities may not, for instance, have got a capacity to be able to engage, you know, with the board in the manner that, for instance, lay in the legislation says. So we're basically outreaching. We're basically outstretching that. And then clearly, I mean, you know, the recent court cases here, you know, brought, you know, against the board, all of them, you know, the board won those cases. But I've always said, you know, to the staff to say, you know, to win a court case, it's good, but it's a pyrrhic victory, you know, for the board. Fact of the matter is that people have issues, and I think we should actually go out in terms of our mandate to ensure that we address it. So it's us doing more rather than having engaged in a process that was inadequate. These processes were all, you know, adequate. Now the issue of amalgamating of municipalities, whether it has worked, the cases where we have amalgamated municipalities, strictly in that way, it was in Kagsano and Molopo. Now this was not so much as a board initiative, but initiative of the province and the municipalities then. And I think the arguments were actually sound, and we basically carried what was quite clearly, you know, a request that was reasonable in terms of our mandate.
I think what you actually experience is because of the long gestation period at the board when it makes a decision and before it takes effect, it takes long. Actors change, and the people have got you know kind of different views, you know, closer to the process when it's supposed to take effect. Hence, you actually found that. But there's a very substantive question that you are raising, and certainly this is one of the things that as a board that would look to say, you know, perhaps we need to find a way to evaluate the effectiveness of our of some of the demarcations that we have made. But in most cases where we've done amalgamation, certainly the one that I've actually said was purely at the request of the provinces, you know, concern. So let's see how it works. The issue the honourable member has raised around ward delimitation, Mr. Miller, I may have to defer to this question, but I think just generally is that currently the registered voters becomes a key criteria. Now, the manner in which we do wards, we use the current voting districts that the IEC provide to us based on the voters' roll in this case of February 2009. And we have a threshold, or if you like, you know, deviation that we can deviate from, for instance, the norm, which is normally the average by 15%. So in most cases, we would take a voting district to complete a ward purely because it must be compliant with the norm of that municipality, norm being the average number of registered voters per ward in that municipality. It is not a very perfect criteria. All of us accept that, but I think it is currently the arrangement that we have. Hence, you find wards. We know that whose contours are not very elegant, but they have to be consistent, or they have to comply by having the same number of voters in that area. And I'm sure maybe Munara would do that. The board state of health, the board has got 10 members, 9 are part-time, and I'm the only full-time chairperson of the board. Like any other institution, it would have pressures, it would have, different views. One thing that I could say is that it is a challenge, I mean, clearly, because also the mix of the members, determine, the kind of condition that the boards actually have. We've had some kind of challenges, clearly, which we are resolving, as the board. They are in no way closer to actually even undermine, the effectiveness of the board. It is just, in the nature of the work of actually, institution like like the board. I would say I don't see any life-threatening conditions of the board. It is, in my view, organizationally healthy. Some of the problems that you may have had, and the board would certainly be, in my view, be resolved. I don't think there's much progress in that.
Just to say, as the chair of the board has indicated, the fact that a primary criteria for ward limitation becomes the number of voters tends to make it a very cold and number-crunching exercise in many instances, with the result that because we have these bricks that we use, voting districts that we pack and rearrange, to meet certain norms and in terms of numbers and so on. That is why in this particular round the board made a special effort to send drafts out to municipalities so that issues, local issues, where we have, for example, clearly taken a VD that doesn't belong in a ward for certain locally based reasons, then those can be could be dealt with at that level, to say what's the Maiden Park doesn't really belong in this ward, we should have had Joburton in this ward, that kind of thing. But for as long as then
the numbers in terms of the norm and the limits are still met in all instances the board had accepted those. So it's a very mathematical, almost puzzle-like process, which is not satisfactory. The chair has already indicated that it needs to be relooked at. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. If I may add to that, Madam, as much as we give a draft to municipalities, it is up to them as to how they reconfigure, you know, those VDs to actually make up, you know, the ward. So we give them a draft to say this is how you can do it, but these are the criteria, hold on to it, and then actually come up. And that is why also, in terms of our consultations, we encourage them long before elections. You actually decide as a municipality how you want to actually develop your municipal areas, you know, starting from ward, you know, up to the entire area, so that when it's time to actually delimit these wards, you know exactly what effect putting them together will bring. You know, so that's just what I
think. So it means you must go and tell your new mayors, you must watch how your ward grows. And you must watch the demarcation process. Otherwise, you're going to lose. Okay. Thank you very much. This demarcation process is a crucial, can get controversial, raises emotions, and people feel offended organizationally and so on, sometimes in the outcome of what's happening. And that the I don't think because people are new, you should wait from letting them know what's in it for them. So the sooner you come out there in the public about your deadlines, the better. So that what you subsequently do is a reputation, is a reinforcement. Otherwise, you run the risk of not reducing the conflict that arises if you haven't done so. Don't wait for that to happen. I think it is appropriate to communicate timely now. The mayor of a small town outside of Copenhagen, many years ago, we went to observe the election. Says, my re-election campaign starts today, after being declared the winner. So I must start work. So they better know what's on their agenda for the next 5 years, which includes demarcation. So they might as well prioritize that right now. So don't even think about being sympathetic to what you assume is their overwhelming agenda. It includes you. So that's the attitude I have. Secondly, keep us posted, sir, as a committee with the problems that the board has, which you say you are resolving, so that we are posted and we know what's happening inside the board. That it may not, as you say, be affecting the work of the organization. Just in case it does, we know we were briefed and up to date with what's happening there. That's important to us to understand. Thank you very much. We realize there have been discussions that were raised that needed to happen between, and the conversation that you say you're going to have with COCTA about meeting deadlines and so on is important. Don't worry. We people have been saying outside that sometimes when they say government, they include the demarcation board explicitly. So you can pat yourself on the back and say that, yes, we also met our deadline. This is where the IAC was able to meet theirs, and government, and so on and so on and so on. So, yeah, that's a very important point to make, that part of the system working together produced what everybody agrees is a very important outcome. A huge turnout, very exciting election work, and that was in no small measure because of your contributions. Thank you very much, members.
Members, we are requested to meet with a, this is a letter addressed to us here by Mr. Sogo. This relates to, can I read this? Boss, can I read this? The budget vote number 6 of the Ministry of Performance and Monitoring will be referred to the Standing Committee on Appropriation for consideration and report. The House Chairperson said that the Appropriation Committee should consider with the Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Administration and on Cooperative Governance those issues. So the debate for this budget vote is scheduled for the 10th of June. And it will be formally referred to the appropriation on Monday, today, or yesterday rather. The proposed date for meeting of the above mentioned committees, that is ourselves, Public Service and Administration, and the appropriation is on Thursday at 2 o'clock. Thursday, yes, this Thursday at 2 o'clock. So please, a joint meeting, sorry. They will have to come back to us with that, Shireen. It would be great if we sleep knowing today where the venue is. It must not go beyond tomorrow. So by the end of today, we must know where the meeting is taking place on Thursday at 2 o'clock. Members, thank you very much. If there are issues that, because we have two, our budget vote is on the 31st. Which Tuesday?
Next Tuesday.
Mm. Yes. No. Yeah. Members, we will have to meet next Tuesday. In the morning, very brief meeting. It will not be a long meeting next Tuesday. Initially, we had thought that we would do away with it, but it's not wise. We have to meet briefly, and so that because the budget vote is in the afternoon and so on. So it will be brief, so that we formalize some of the requirements for doing that before we go into the debate itself. So, and the time, preferably. Let's say 9:30, like today, so that probably in an hour's time we're over or something like that. So let's more or less work on an hour and a half, not more than that, starting at 9:30. Thank you very much, members. The meeting is adjourned.